We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Former NFL offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz joins us every week at this time. Jeff, happy holidays. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you guys doing?
We're great.
Fantastic.
It's our last show of the year. We're going on vacation.
Well, I got to work tomorrow. You're off. You're off.
Last
tomorrow.
Show together of the year. And so,
ready for a little time off.
That's it. Good time, the holiday season.
It's a fantastic time because you get the end of the regular season of football, you get bowl season. It's a little bit sad because, bowl season's coming up and, it's about to end. College football's about to end. There's a little bit of a depressing period to happen. But at least we have some playoff football coming up soon. And the end of the season, obviously, is supremely important.
And the Browns, believe it or not, are still mathematically alive to make the playoffs, even though they need that Titans-Colts tie in Week 17. Mm. Plus, they need the Titans and Colts both to lose this week, and they're playing the Redskins and Giants, so unlikely. But just the fact that the Browns are mathematically alive going to Week 16 is pretty remarkable, Jeff.
It is. And look, it's a testament, really. Look, I know we want to knock like Sasha Brown, but he built a good roster, and John Dorsey added to that roster, and obviously with Greg Williams and Freddie Kitchens, it's worked out well. The real question is do you keep those guys? I don't have a great answer for that. I know that's why I'm supposed to be here. But, I think that you have to see who you can hire first, and that's obviously what they're probably doing now is, does a Mike McCarthy want to come? Does a Lincoln Riley want to show up? Maybe even the John DeFilippo. Or, if those options all say no, then maybe the best option is keeping Greg Williams and Freddie Kitchens. It's kind of a duo, and look, the players obviously respond well to Greg Williams. But I feel like when these coaches get kind of the interim status and they win a little bit, it doesn't really translate to the next year. I don't know why, but I would be skeptical of it, of Greg Williams like being the guy that wins Super Bowls for the Browns.
Yeah, it's a tough dilemma they have right now. And we're even talking today, Jeff, about, hey, maybe make Freddie Kitchens the head coach. He had a press conference like a half hour ago, and he was asked if he wants to be head coach. He says, absolutely. And I don't know. I mean, we feel like Freddie's been the biggest catalyst in this resurgence for the Browns.
I mean, it's a big jump, right? To go from first-time calling players all the way to a head coach. Because, look, a head coach is more than just – obviously play calling, right? It's setting the tone for your team. It's dealing with the scheduling and the media and the injuries and obviously, player personnel stuff. As much as, they're not the GM or nothing, but they have a big say in obviously who makes their team and whatnot. I mean, I feel like that's probably a big jump. I just think you have to see who's out there, who wants this job. I think the way Baker Mayfield has played, it's really going to encourage people to maybe take this job. Obviously, the ownership situation, it might discourage people, and just the fact that they have been the Browns for so long, and it takes a long time, in my opinion, to kind of ditch that losing type of culture and build a new one. And Baker Mayfield is trying his best to do it, I'll tell you that. I was wrong about him. I didn't think he'd be this good this quickly. But his confidence is definitely sky high, and it shows his teammates love playing with him, and he makes some amazing throws.
You bring up, the coaches will take over as interim. There's less pressure on them. They're playing loose. They're playing aggressive. And it doesn't always translate from year to year. And you're right. And I have felt all along Greg Williams was not the right guy. But ultimately, fans are so used to losing. They're feeling the winning. And fans are going to be angry, a lot of them, if Greg Williams is let go. And while that shouldn't matter, you wonder if it will for John Dorsey. And more importantly, the owner getting involved here, especially if he goes 6-2 and wins the last two games. You wonder, Jeff, how John Dorsey is, if he doesn't want Greg Williams to be the coach, but the more Greg Williams wins, the more pressure there will be to keep him. Tough spot.
Well, this is the problem with the Browns, right, is you have too much input at times from the ownership when this decision really should be trusted to John Dorsey. Look, John Dorsey has done this for a long time, right? He's in pair with Andy Reid. He was in Green Bay, and they had a very stable coaching environment there for a while. So, you got to let him do his job. And, of course, the owner has to okay it. But if John Dorsey says, no, we're hiring Mike McCarthy, and he says, no, we're keeping Greg Williams, I don't know how you can do that. And that's, I think, some of the concern about becoming a coach for the Browns is how much the owner might meddle in decisions that are made within the organization. I think you got to let John Dorsey pick the guy that he wants, and he's got to work with him all the time. The owner doesn't. So let John make this pick. I have faith John will get a guy in there who can do the job.
If the Browns do win out, I mean, how tough is that for Dorsey? I mean, if they finish 8-7-1, the first winning record since 2007,
yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of risk in letting that go. You know what I mean? Even though, as we're talking about right now, I mean, there's, you know, it's rare that it happens where teams get hot and it's the right guy ultimately long term.
Well, it's the thing about, you know, John being in the building every day. You know, we don't see the day-to-day interactions between Greg Williams and Freddie Kitchens and the players and Greg Williams in the staff meetings and Greg Williams talking to personnel guys. I mean, he might have changed from who he was previously. He might be a different coach than we see. He might treat the players differently than he treats the coaches. I mean, we don't know all this stuff. That's obviously why John Dorsey's in the building. He gets to make the decisions. So, while we might see 8-7, sorry for that noise, we might see 8-7, he might see more dysfunction that shows on Sundays and decide that he wants to go in a different direction. I mean, those are all things that you hire a good GM like John Dorsey, and he has to make these calls.
We're talking with Jeff Schwartz, former NFL offensive lineman. Jeff, what did you think of Greg Williams at the end of the game against Denver when it was 4th-and-1 at like the 11-yard line, Browns are up 1, not kicking a field goal, going for it? What did you think of that call?
I loved it. Here's the deal, man. This is kind of the point I think you guys made about kind of playing loose, right? He has nothing to lose right now. Does he change the way he coaches next year, let's say, then hypothetically, if he has his job, right? Is he playing to kick a field goal and win the game, you know, by 4 and make Denver drive down? I love the call. I mean, Vance Joseph obviously should have done the same thing on the back end. But we're seeing that, look, I mean, analytics are driving a lot of these decisions. You have a team that drove the ball all the way down the field at that point. I loved it. I thought it was a great call. End the game on your terms. I'm totally okay with that, especially with the lead. I like watching the Browns play. I never thought I'd say that. I mean, they're running those little underneath fake toss trap plays. And now, I mean, you saw this week, there were with a bunch of teams, the Panthers ran it, who, you know, obviously the Browns ran it the week before on them. Yep. And I mean, how often do we see teams stealing plays from the Browns?
That's right. In a long time.
Yeah.
All right, so we move forward to this week's game, and the Browns are 10-point favorites, the largest favorite, again, since Adam?
Since week 17 of 2007, the biggest they've
biggest
been.
Favorite yeah, the Browns have been. Yeah. Think they cover?
That's too much. Too many points, no. I weirdly enough, Jeff Driscoll's kind of played okay.
But no Tyler Boyd either this week, probably.
Yeah, 10 points for the Browns? Oh, man. I'm sure the Sharps are all over this. The Sharps are finally making their money back on the Browns in the last couple of years. I just think that's way too many points for a divisional game. Cincinnati's playing for pride. Obviously, they want to avenge what happened last time. I think people look at the game that happened last time, that big beatdown the Browns gave on the Bengals, and that's going to happen again. Very rarely when you play a division opponent does the game go exactly like the first game. And here's the thing, too. Look, the Browns, why would they change their game plan from the first time they played them? I mean, they're going to come out with a very similar game plan where the Bengals should come out with something different the Browns haven't seen. So I think there's too much pride in the Bengals to go into Cleveland and lose this game of more than 10. That would really surprise me.
I also think it's going to be closer than expected. I would be surprised if the Browns didn't win in the end.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of points. I agree with you. Let's talk about the Saturday night game, Ravens-Chargers, because we have our eye on that game. You know, the Ravens and Chargers. Ravens got it done last week. Chargers at home, favored by 4 Saturday night. Who are you liking that one, Jeff?
I like the under 44. Okay. I also like the Ravens under 19.5. Look, Lamar Jackson has done it this week. I mean, look, he's played the 5 worst rushing defenses. He's also played offenses that aren't very good. The Ravens defense has been able to really kind of control those games. You know, we saw when he got to Kansas City, can't control that game, right? Against an offense like that. So I think the kind of fairy tale ends with this offense in San Diego. I say that like 8 times a week in Los Angeles. Gets the Chargers. Look, but the one thing that concerns me, the Chargers just don't play well at home, really, because they don't really have a home field. They play great on the road. They went to Pittsburgh and won, Kansas City and Seattle. So Nonetheless, I like the under 44, there's 44 and a half maybe, and I like the Ravens under 19 and a half.
You know, the Patriots obviously have lost two in a row for the first time in December since 2002 or 2003. I can't remember now.
Yeah.
Been forever. Now Josh Gordon, he's gone for the year. No big surprise. Only surprise is it took this long to happen. How big a trouble do you think the Patriots are, if any?
I don't really see it quite yet. Here's the deal with the Patriots and the way I feel. Now, am I going to bet them at minus 13 this week? Probably not. But look, until they're dead and buried, I'm always going to think the Patriots are going to do something in the playoffs. I mean, they do have issues on offense, and it really does not stem from Josh Gordon being out. Gronk is just not the same player anymore. They just don't have the same playmakers. People are not afraid of what they can do as much, or doubling Edelman, doubling Gronk, and saying, hey, someone else beat us. I never count them out. I won't. Obviously, playing on the road is going to be tougher for them. But if they get to open up with Indianapolis at home in week one, let's say, as the sixth seed, they own kind of Indy in the playoffs, and then they get to play the Texans, maybe, let's say, hypothetically, and the Texans are kind of new in this situation. I would take the Patriots there, and then AFC Championship game. You'll know what's going to happen.
All right, Jeff, let's talk some ultimate degenerate stuff here. We have the Gasparilla Bowl tonight. We've got, you know, the Potato Bowl tomorrow. We've got all these games for the next, you know, 10 days. It's my favorite time of the year. Give us you got a couple games you like here? I know you like these random games.
I like Stanford -6 in the Sun Bowl. Now, that's not till the 31st, I think, right?
Yeah, it's 31st.
Normally the Sun Bowl's the 31st. I just covered it today on Action Network for one of our shows. Well, that's a couple days away now. I like them at -6. Don't worry about Bryce Love not being there. They couldn't run the ball on anyone this year. And Pittsburgh just really doesn't match up well in explosive plays. I took Marshall tonight. I like Army over Houston. Army's going to be able to control that clock. And Houston without Ed Oliver can't stop the run. I mean, Army is one of my favorite plays in bowl season right now. I'm trying to think of under Cal, TCU, both teams. Cal's 128th in offensive points per possession. TCU's 124th. On the flip side, they both have good defenses. I think we're going to see 0 points. I mean, that game might end 10-7. I just think that's very much an under. And Minnesota +5 against Georgia Tech. If you read some of the Twitter accounts of the Georgia Tech players, they are not happy going to Detroit for this game. I think Minnesota will kind of control them. They fired their DC early November, I should say, and had quite good defenses. Those are kind of the picks off the top of my head I can think of.
Jeff, good stuff, man. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Jeff Schwartz.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.